The Lord be with you.
And with
you. Reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
When Jesus entered Capernaum, a centurion approached him and appealed to him, saying, "Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, suffering dreadfully." He said to him, "Come and cure him." The centurion said and replied, "Lord, I am not worthy to have you enter under my roof. Only say the word, my servant will be healed. For I too am a man subject to authority, with soldiers subject to me. And they say to one, 'Go,' and he goes, and to another, 'Come here,' and he comes. And my slave, 'Do this,' and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he was amazed and said to those following him, "Amen, I say to you, and no one in Israel have I found such faith. I say to you, many will come from the east and the west and will recline with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob at the banquet in the kingdom of heaven." The Gospel of the Lord. Pope St. John Paul II and Mother Teresa of Calcutta, probably according to most experts on missionary activity, would say that they were probably the two greatest missionaries last century. John Paul II obviously was the most traveled pope in the history of the world. And he wrote a document, better said an encyclical, on missionary activity. And the title of that document was Missio Redentoris, which is Latin for the mission of the Redeemer. In that encyclical, he says that all baptized are called to be missionaries. Once you're baptized, you're called to be priest, prophet, and king. If you're confirmed, even more so. If you're confirmed, you're called to both to spread the faith and to defend the faith. The last words of Jesus Christ in the Gospel of Matthew were, "Go out to all nations. Teach all. Baptize in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Behold, I am with you always, even until the end of the world." Agentes would be the missionary document found in Vatican II. Pope Francis, of all his writings, my favorite, it took me 2 years to explain this to my group in Spanish, is The Joy of the Gospel. Today we celebrate, according to some, the second greatest missionary in the world after St. Paul. So today we celebrate the great Francis Xavier. He died when he was 16 years younger than me. I won't tell you my age, but relatively young. He was in his mid-40s. No? There's ever a saint I would really encourage you to get to know. Try to get to know this saint. So I'll just give you a few salient ideas on the life of the saint, and hopefully you'll be able to get to know him. As a young man, when he's 18, he ends up at the University of Paris, which was the most prestigious university in the world back in the 1500s. And he had two roommates. An older man was about 6-7 years older than him. And then there was another man And both of them were students there at the University of Paris. One of them, his name was Ignatius of Loyola. The other one was Pierre Favre, St. Peter Favre. In other words, you had in that room three future canonized saints. Not bad, huh? Xavier, when he came in, he was very worldly. But he had just incredible gifts. For your living today, he would be a gold medalist in the Olympic Games. The high jump. He would have been probably, he probably won the gold medal. So he was he had a super physique. But also he was a genius. Pretty good combo, huh? But he was proud as a peacock. He was, yeah. Proud and vain, and he wanted worldly success. He was planning on being, you know, a university professor there at University of Paris. I'd be teaching at Harvard or Princeton or Yale in the United States, or Oxford and Cambridge if you're an Englishman. So there he was heading toward fame and honor and glory and power and money. He would have been Mr. Famous. Guess what happened? Ignatius, who was already given the exercises, he was keenly aware, if this man is converted, this guy will be able to do so much good because of the talents he's got. What does Aquinas say? God, grace does not destroy nature but builds upon it. That's an axiom from Thomas Aquinas. Really good human foundation. So what happens is Ignatius, seeing this guy, he says to him, what would it profit a man if he gains the whole world and he loses his soul? Xavier rebuffs him. What would it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? Pushes him aside. He gets his doctorate, and Ignatius sends students to his classroom. Runs out of money. Ignatius pulls out his wallet, gives him money. Ignatius, I'm going to win this guy over. So eventually he says, okay, what do you want me to do? I want you to go through this course of exercises. He capitulates. So Ignatius takes him to the exercises. And after he finishes him, he said he was the hardest nut to crack. He was hard, but the exercises, you know, 30 days can convert a soul. I think many of you people have done the 10-week exercise, it converted you. And you're going deeper, but it went through your conversion. So as a result of Ignatius, I'm given the exercises 450 years later. So he's converted. And he becomes an ardent follower of Christ and Ignatius. Then both of them are ordained to the priesthood in Venice, which is a city in Italy. Then they go to the Pope. There's a band of about 7 or 8 of them. And they offer their service to the Pope. And they found what is called La Compagnie de Jesus, habla español. The Company of Jesus would be the Company of Jesus, who were the first Jesuits, with vows of poverty, chastity, obedience, and availability to the Pope. Whatever the Pope wanted, here we are. That Pope had a great missionary spirit. In other words, back then, where was Catholicism centered? France, Italy, Germany, Austria. In other words, it was basically centered in Europe. This Pope was thinking, well, there are many, many people on the other part of the world that have never heard the preaching of the gospel. Why not send some missionaries there, to the Far East? So the Pope asked Ignatius to give two of his priests to go to the Far East, and they both got sick. So he turned to his secretary was Francis Xavier, and he says, well, will you go? And Xavier says, I will obey. Then he says to him, the last words he would say to his friend until they met in heaven. And those words were, go set all on fire. Go set all on fire. So he travels to Portugal, he embarks and he heads to a city called Goa. Goa is a chief city on the western coast of the of India. And when he's heading there, he gets seasick and he's converting the sailors as he's arriving there. So he arrives, and what does he do? He decides to live with the poorest of the poor. He lives in a little hut, eats their rice. And one of the gifts of Francis Xavier is that he was gifted with linguistic abilities. But he learned languages in two ways. By studying, but also he had the gift of tongues that the apostles were given on Pentecost. God would sometimes allow him to meet some people who didn't know the language, and he was able to speak that language, like the apostles. So there in Goa, he's preaching, he's teaching, he's visiting the poor, he's visiting the sick, and he had a special love for lepers. Yeah. He loved the lepers, like St. Damien of Molokai. At the end of the day, he couldn't lift up his arm. You know why? He was baptizing so many that he couldn't lift up his arm anymore. Something really interesting happened after he died. Do you know where the body of Francis Xavier is? It's in Goa. Do you know where his arm is? It's in Rome, in the church of the Gesù, of the Jesuits. They cut his arm off. So the Romans have his arm and the Indians have his body, huh? How about that? It's in the house of Gesù, which is the principal house of the Jesuits in the world. But this would happen. He preached, he taught, and baptized. Went on from town to town to town to town, setting fires. Now, given that there were not that many priests, what he had to do was, what we're trying to do in St. Peter Chanel, he had to form lay people. He was on the run, basically. So he would evangelize this town, he would baptize, and then he would set up those who were best formed as the catechists so they could do the formation of the people. Then he moved on from another town to another town to another town to another town. You would think that India would be big enough. Not for Xavier. He went to Indonesia. He went to Malaysia. And he went to Japan. But what's interesting is how he was able to adapt himself. In India, he could dress basically as a homeless person, in shabby clothes, living in a hut, eating rice. He went to Japan dressed like that, and they said, who the heck is this bum? He kind of looked like a bum. And he recognized, So he had to dress in the most elegant clothes, because that's what the Japanese emperor wanted. He didn't want a bum. So he goes before the emperor, and the emperor allows him to start to preach. So he learns enough Japanese, and he's preaching to these people, converting many of the Japanese people. Then he had an idea. Aha! What's the best way to convert the Japanese? You got to convert the Chinese. Why? Because the Chinese, they are an older civilization that the Japanese looked to with great, great honor and respect. So that was his idea. I will go to China. I'll convert the Chinese, and then domino effect, convert all the Japanese. So there he is going. He ends up on the island of Sunchan, overlooking mainland China. And he's so tired, he's got a fever. There on the island, he dies of exhaustion. Dies of exhaustion, overlooking China. At his funeral, at the funeral of John Paul II, there were millions. At his funeral, there were five people. For the greatest missionary in the world after St. Paul. What humility, huh? So I'd like to conclude with three short ideas. You people are called to be great missionaries. Amen? Don't bow your head now. You're called to be great missionaries. John Paul II and said Missio Redentoris, we're all called to be missionaries. But where is the best mission territory today? The big cities. Los Angeles is one of the biggest cities in the world. My friends, there are more people here than where Xavier was 450 years ago. There are many, many more souls in Los Angeles than where he was going. My friends, the harvest is rich. It's rich. The laborers are few. You're going to receive Holy Communion, right? You're going to bring Christ to others. Can't keep it to yourself. You want to grow in your faith? Give your faith to others. That's the best way. Don't hold it. Give it. Give it. Second is we all have to learn as Francis Xavier did, we have to learn to be all things to all men so as to win as many as possible to Christ. I repeat, we have to be all things to all men so as to win as many souls to Christ. Why did I hear in LA, why do I speak Spanish? My Spanish is perfect. Why? Because there are so many souls here that only speak Spanish. I adapt. I adapt. If I have to become a Mexican, I'll become a Mexican if I can get them to heaven. We have to learn how to adapt. Francis Xavier also was a super catechist. Let me tell you what he did. Francis Xavier would learn the basics of the catechism, the basics. Then he would put it into a song, and he'd sing it like this. Why are we created? We're created to know God, to love God, to serve God, and this love so as to be happy with Him and forever in heaven. Can you memorize that? So he would do that, and he would sing that to the children. Then the children would go home and they would sing it to their parents. Yeah. Yeah. See how intelligent this man was. But let me tell you, where does this all come from? It comes from a fiery love for God. They say of him that he spent the whole day preaching and he spent many, many hours at night talking to God. about the souls that he's trying to bring to heaven. And his favorite prayer was, Lord, give me souls. So I'm going to pray that all of you are going to become great missionaries. Let's ask St. Francis Xavier to give us some of that fire. And remember the words that Ignatius of Loyola said to Francis Xavier. And I say these words to you. Go set all on fire. Amen.